On Wednesday, July the 12th, a group of Hezbollah fighters killed 8 Israeli soldiers, injured 2 others, and took 2 prisoner in a raid on the Lebanese-Israeli border. Israel then announced that it held Lebanon accountable for the capture of its soldiers, calling it an act of war. The Israeli Air Force proceeded to launch its heaviest bombing campaign in Lebanon since the invasion and occupation of 1982, destroying the Beirut airport and demolishing infrastructure. Hezbollah responded, sending missiles into Israel, hitting cities as far south as Haifa. The Lebanese army also entered into the conflict, firing anti-aircraft guns at the invading Israeli planes. As early as July the 14th, 2 days into the conflict, the European Union and Russia criticized Israel's attack in Lebanon as disproportionate. Since, however, the conflict has only escalated on both sides, as Israel has continued to bomb Lebanon, hitting Beirut and destroying roads, bridges, factories, and infrastructure. Hezbollah has also continued firing missiles into Israel. Reports are now that they have launched over 1,000 missiles over the border. The death toll, as of Saturday, reached over 400 Lebanese and over 35 Israelis, with many wounded on both sides. In Lebanon, over 500,000 civilians have had to evacuate their homes. On the line from Haifa to speak with me about this unfolding crisis is Ilan Pappe. Professor Pappe is senior lecturer in the University of Haifa, Department of Political Science. He is also chair of the Emil Tuma Institute for Palestinian Studies in Haifa. He is the author of numerous books, the latest of which is A History of Modern Palestine, One Land, Two Peoples. Professor Pappe, thank you for finding time to speak with me.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
I wanted to begin by asking if you could explain the sentiment of the general Israeli population towards the ongoing crisis in Lebanon.
I think the government still enjoys a vast majority or a wide public support. White public support among the Jewish population in Israel, which is 80% of the population. I doubt whether the majority of the Arab citizens of Israel, Palestinian citizens of Israel, who are 20% of the population, support the government. But I think that in the last 2-3 days, we've all also seen the beginning of a movement against the war, still very small, and yet one which succeeded in bringing to one demonstration 2,000 people, something which never happened before in Israel during the time of the war. So it's still a consensus behind the government, but you can start and see the effects in the world.
Both George Bush and our Prime Minister in Canada, Stephen Harper, have said that the invasion of Lebanon by Israel was justified in self-defense and measured in terms of intensity. What do you make of these claims?
I think this is a very strange position by both the American and Canadian government. It was very clear that the Israeli reaction had very little to do with the abduction of the soldiers, that this was such a quick response, less than an hour after the soldiers were abducted, even before we knew whether they were abducted inside Israel or inside Lebanon. It was a pre-planned attack on Lebanon and the Hezbollah, which caused already the devastation of Lebanon and a high number of casualties over here in the Galilee. And a responsible government, such outer government, if they were responsible, their role would have been to stop the escalation rather than create the conditions by which the attackers could repeat these attacks, continue these attacks.
It's
an immoral position, to my mind, by external governments, such as the U.S. and Canada, and has nothing to do with Israel was either sovereignty was attacked or not. They should not have allowed these attacks to take place. I'm just going to the shelter, but you can continue to talk to me because we have, again, sirens and attacks.
You said that the capture of the two Israeli soldiers by Hezbollah was a pretext, simply a pretext. Could you explain Israel's true plan with regard to Lebanon?
Well, Israel has a unilateral plan of what should be the nature of a solution between in the Palestine question. A solution that has implications beyond Israel and Palestine. And it's planned to annex large parts of the occupied territories, 57, and to do it unilaterally is accepted by the United States, Qatar, and there's hardly anyone in the Arab world opposed it. And only two movements oppose it, the Hamas in the Gaza Strip and the Hezbollah in Lebanon. And the Israelis think they have a window of opportunity to eliminate these forces through a war, and therefore, and then they can do whatever they want with enforcing their solution on the country and the area around it.
Noam Chomsky has said, quoting the Financial Times, that the capture of the two Israeli soldiers by Hezbollah was a reaction to the ongoing attacks in Gaza, where Israeli forces have destroyed a power plant supplying electricity to homes and hospitals and clean water to thousands of Palestinians. Chomsky has said that the capture of the soldiers was a means of alleviating the suffering of the Gazans and a show of solidarity and compassion. Robert Fisk, on the other hand, has said that the attacks were impelled by Syria and Iran, the chief political and military backers of Hezbollah. He's pointed out that since Syria was expelled under UN Resolution 1559, it has been looking for a way to reassert itself in the region. I wanted to get your thoughts on those two points of view.
Yeah. I don't think they contradict each other. I think what people should realize is an organization like the Hezbollah is being motivated by more than one impulse or more than one pressure. It tries to show solidarity to the Palestinian people, especially in time when the Palestinian resistance movement is led by an Islamic group like itself. So definitely some of its actions are because of that. At the same time, it tries to play a role in Lebanese politics, some of that, and that ambition also explains what it is in Lebanon, because we want to be in it on the border to show the Lebanese people that it has justification for still being a military movement and not just a political party. And it is also being directed by Iran and Syria as their proxy in the region, and they try to satisfy their demands. So I think it's a kind of a navigation which includes both the elements of outside pressure and the wish to show solidarity, and definitely was a very limited operation, and the limitation shows that he was trying to navigate. Of course, it served the pretext for Israel, but as some Israeli generals said very clearly here, even without the abduction, Israel was preparing for such an attack, so another incident would have served as an excuse for this war. So really the attack in itself is not the important case.
I wanted to turn to specifically Hezbollah, and which by most accounts has a lot of support among the Lebanese population because of its social programs. They've built hospitals, they built schools, they built roads, and their popularity is reflected in their political wing, which has been elected to the Lebanese parliament. With regard to Hezbollah, how do you think the Lebanese population will react to the Israeli offensive?
Well, I think that as things stand now, I mean, it's difficult to predict how things will develop from you, but as things stand now, I think the Hezbollah has succeeded in proving to the Lebanese public that its military force was valid. On the other hand, I think it definitely is made by the Christian sectors for bringing the destruction of Lebanon. So I should say the following, probably. Those who supported Hezbollah before will support them even more vigorously. Those who oppose the Hezbollah, especially more the Christian a community, a part of the community, would continue to resist it. But all in all, I think the ordinary Lebanese, even those who suffer directly from the Israeli attack, regardless of their ethnicity or religious identity, I think admire the Hezbollah for, as I say so far, for the steadfastness, and compare it, for instance, the behavior and conduct of the Arab regimes around Israel.
And Assad Abu Khalil has said that the invasion of Lebanon is likely to cause the emergence of another Hezbollah-style group. What are your thoughts on that prediction?
You mean in the rest of the Arab world, or?
I think in Lebanon in particular.
In Lebanon. It's possible. I mean, I wouldn't talk about with certainty. I would put it another way. If the Israeli operation would be so successful as to eliminate Hezbollah as a military organization, a new organization will come in its place. If the Hezbollah would come out of it more or less intact, then I think it will still be the main player, and there will be no need for a similar organization to form. But definitely the idea that the Lebanese government cannot be the only player vis-a-vis Israel, vis-a-vis the conflict in Palestine, is something that this conflict has proven to many people in Lebanon and beyond Lebanon, that this is a valid point.
On Thursday, the UN Commissioner for Human Rights, Louise Albour, has said that the attacks against civilian populations in Lebanon and Gaza could constitute war crimes. What do you make of this?
Well, I think they are. They are definitely war crimes by any definition. The collateral, inflicted collateral damage on civilian populations is a war crime. I don't think there's any way of evading this definition. And the intention to hurt as many citizens as possible is definitely a war crime. I think that the source that you have quoted is a very legitimate one and a very neutral one. So I think we should take very serious allegations.
And what do you make of the recent bombing of the independent television stations in Lebanon?
Well, I think this is part of the insanity of, or abnormality of the present operation from the Israeli side. I think it's sort of a mixture of an army that tries to, that has an opportunity to play with all the latest and most updated weapons it has and use it for years, an idea that you have to, an Israeli idea of deterrence. You have to show the rest of the Arab world what Israel might can do, and you have to inflict collateral damage in every possible way. And there is an additional very bizarre involvement of the Israeli official broadcast people who push the government to damage the counterpart network in Lebanon, as if they are as lethal as the Hezbollah in this situation. And I think the international community of journalists have to think about later on how to respond to such a very strange behavior of journalists in time of war.
How do you think the actions of Israel will reverberate within the larger Arab community in the region?
Well, I think what will become clear is the impotence of the Arab regimes, and it would add another layer of bad blood towards Israel, its policies, and its very existence, and it will especially strain the relations between the Arab regimes and the neighboring countries and their societies that expect them to do much more. And I think that we won't see these influences or impacts in the short run, but the implications would be felt in the long run. and would affect the region and the Arab world as a whole.
How is the Arab world reacting to Israel, to the U.S. support for Israel during this crisis?
Well, I think it reinforces images and beliefs and convictions that the Arab people in the Arab world have already evolved in a very strong link between Israel and the United States. It reinforces the accusation that in Iraq the war was waged not just because of American interests, but it also was done in order to serve Israeli interests. And people see the involvement of Israel now in Lebanon as part of the general American scheme. So I think it really brings us back 20, 30, 40 years. It takes us 30, 40 years backwards and creates a great rift between the Arab world and Israel, which is still going to be seen as a front base for American imperialism, and that, of course, distances us all from the possibility of peace and reconciliation in this area.
Professor Pape, we're speaking with Professor Ilan Pape. Professor Pape is a senior lecturer in the University of Haifa Department of Political Science. He's also chair of the Emil Tuma Institute for Palestinian Studies. Professor Pape, what do you make of the recent UN calls for a ceasefire? The steps set out by Kofi Annan to move towards a ceasefire are very similar to the demands of the Israeli government, the return of the captured soldiers, the creation of a buffer zone on the Israel-Lebanon border, and the disarming of the Hezbollah. What do you think of these steps towards ceasefire?
I think that there is a problem with the United Nations call because it mixes the need for an immediate and unconditional ceasefire with the solution afterwards for the problem, or the creation of conditions that would not allow such a crisis to develop once more. And this never works. It never works in any conflict. The first thing you do, you stop the fire, you exchange the prisoners of war, and then you sit down and talk about a settlement. I thought the United Nations position to begin with was similar to what I described now. I think under American pressure it changed. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be helpful. But I do hope that out of this United Nations initiative, at least a call for an unconditional immediate ceasefire would take place. And then, of course, people can discuss implementation, United Nations resolution, and all the other elements of a solution.
Professor Pape, how do you think the international community can help move the Israel-Lebanon conflict towards some kind of peace?
I think that forces in the international community, if they were able to confront the American leadership and policy that allows the conflict to continue, so that Israel would have a window of opportunity to finish its military operations. If there will be a counter position that would push for an immediate and unconditional ceasefire, I think the international community could really help us in this respect, because the immoral position that especially the American administration has taken by telling us innocent citizens on both sides of the border that we should continue to suffer because of American strategic considerations should really be challenged by someone, and not only by other powers, but also by the civil society in the United States itself, through demonstrations, petitions, and pressure on their own government, so that a different policy would be implemented and we will begin to see the end of this conflict rather than an endless continuation of it.
Professor Pape, I wanted to ask you about an article you wrote for the Electronic Intifada called "What Does Israel Want?" In it you outline that the fact that Israel's military is trained for high intensity conflict rather than the low intensity conflict that is ongoing with the Palestinians, where the Palestinians are fighting with rocks and Molotov cocktails against tanks and jets and the most advanced technology available to any army anywhere. Could you please outline how you think Israel is moving towards a high-intensity conflict and what that means for the world?
Yes, I think that the Israeli army has amassed a large number of very sophisticated weapons, and its army was exercising war games of all kinds, and it found itself doing policing work, actually, more than anything else, in the occupied territories. And you have the feeling here that something was unleashed with this war, and which explains a disproportional reaction to what happened on the Lebanese border, and that more is can happen in the future in this respect. And this is not just a limited Israeli perception of the war arena, but it connects very well with the perception of the war arena in Washington. And there are very high level coordination. There is a very high level coordination between the two armies and the two leaderships of the armies. And the idea is the same idea that was propagated by Donald Rumsfeld in November 2001, when he said, "We are in a third world war. The new Nazis are what he called the axis of power," which includes, by the way, the Hezbollah in his mind, and the superior firepower of the United States and of Israel are the weapons that would decide that war. Now, the quagmire in Iraq has undermined somewhat this strategy. But I think with the Israeli initiative in Lebanon, the voices we haven't heard for a while from the United States are coming stronger. And if you watch Fox News, that's the station to watch if you want to understand where the American military mind and the Israeli military minds connect. And this is all about a high-intensity conflict against Syria and against Iran. In fact, some of our politicians here yesterday said openly that the short-term objective of this war is Lebanon, but the long-term objective of this war is Syria and Iran.
And how do you think the media has been portraying the conflict, especially if you could kind of compare the Israeli media to Western media in the United States? And I don't know if you've been watching the Canadian news, but it's very much like that of the United States, especially CNN.
Well, I think that Israeli news are very propagandist, very one-sided, and there's hardly any difference, let's say, between the coverage of stations such as Fox and the Israeli TV. We get here the CNN International, which I must say is a bit better than the CNN you get in the United States, I think. And definitely the CNN International shows the effect of the Israeli attack in Lebanon itself. We don't see anything on Israeli TV with connection to the collateral damage inflicted on the other side. We don't see any serious discussion about what lies behind the war, and we see very limited coverage of the many demonstrations that are taking place against the war. So I think if one relies on the Israeli media, one thinks that Israel is totally right and is doing an amazingly human job on the other side. But with time, I think the real truth would be uncovered.
We've been speaking with Ilan Pappe on the line with us from Haifa. Professor Pappe is senior lecturer in the University of Haifa, the Department of Political Science. He is also chair of the Emil Tuma Institute for Palestinian Studies. He is the author of numerous books, the latest of which is A History of Modern Palestine, One Land, Two Peoples. Professor Pape, thank you for speaking to me.
Yes, thank you very much.
And stay safe, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.